your name like a prayer. Would you leave me alone in my fear? No, we can need you so.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 355. I am your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And as always, we are joined by a man who nobody will be talking about in 2.5 weeks, Wombat.
That's good. That was clever. I'm so impressed.
Thank you. I just thought of it.
No.
2.5 seconds ago.
That's really, I'm honestly impressed. That's a good one.
Thank
good job.
That's a good one.
Good one. Here.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm bowing now. Oh, I hit my head on the mic.
Eh, what can you do?
Also, Shipwreck, who everybody will be talking about always and making comics about at Boat Crash. What is it? Boatcrashcomics.com?
Yep, that's it.
He needs a Twitter account so I know when it gets updated.
Well, he has a Twitter account, but...
Oh, I mean, Boat Crash Comics needs its own Twitter account or something. Or I could just follow... What's the guy's name again? Moose? Knuckle?
Scoop Moose.
Scoop Moose. I knew it was something.
Right. It's really good, though. Boat Crash Comics are hysterical. We're all in it, but it's all Shipwreck all the time.
Right. Exactly. It's the Shipwreck Show. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Wombat Show, where he does crazy things and people wonder what the hell he's talking about.
I know I do.
Exactly.
That was funny.
Yes, last week we didn't have a show because Wombat was in L.A.
Yes.
Doing gay work, I'm assuming.
That is, I mean, it's just work, but if you want to label it, sure.
I do. Well, if it was something boring, I wouldn't label it. But since it's gay and I can say gay work and not have it be offensive and have it be truthful, then I will say use the gay label every time.
It spoiled me so much that week of work.
Why?
Well, you know, I'm used to my usual work, and it's winter in New York, and it's waking up at 5:30 in the morning, and lately it's been shoveling snow, getting to the train, working, and then going home and getting home at 7, and then, you know, having to walk the dog and all that fun stuff that goes with being a, you know, an adult male human being.
Right,
you know,
right.
Spending time with the kids, being exhausted and passing out. When I was in L.A., it was 80 degrees and sunny every day.
And gay sex all day long.
The hotel they put me up was maybe at most 10-minute walk. I would say less, probably like 7 or 8 minute walk from the hotel to my office, to the office building. And our L.A. office is in a penthouse on Wilshire Boulevard, right by, right by UCLA campus, Westwood Village. Really nice area.
Right.
And the hotel had free breakfast every morning.
Here we go.
So I'd wake up at like 8 a.m., go downstairs, get breakfast, and still be at work before 9.
Go back upstairs, come down an hour later, have breakfast again.
That wasn't
me. They had an automatic pancake machine. Have you ever seen one of those?
No.
You push a button and it shits out 2 pancakes. It's awesome.
That sounds a lot like you. Aren't you an automatic pancake machine? Isn't that what they call you?
Yeah, but my pancakes don't taste as good.
I see. Probably the best thing was like, isn't it pretty painful when you wake up in the morning and it's dark out and when you get home from work and it's dark out?
Yeah, it's the worst.
That's pretty much the worst.
Yeah. It is kind of the worst. So that's why it was really it kind of spoiled me. I mean, yes, I was stuck in conference rooms all day for 8 hours a day, 2 days straight. But, you know.
The California lifestyle seems pretty good to me.
What, mine?
No, just in general, like nice weather every day.
It does. It's intoxicating. Is the word I would use.
Are you still talking about the free pancake, the automatic pancake machine?
No, I would take the weather over the pancakes any day of the week.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of good weather, another reason why we didn't do the show last week is we went to Guam for a family vacation.
So that's a real place.
I can now confirm and tell you about the mysteries of Guam. It is a real place, and it's actually pretty nice. I was expecting...
What are the people of Guam called?
Guaminians.
That sounds made up.
I can't confirm that that's true, but I think, let's say Guaminians. Hold on. I think it's true.
I think they're called Guamaniacs.
Nope, Guaminians. Because I just Googled Guamanians. Yeah, Guamanians.
Because I just Googled it, and then like the first result was Guamanians to join 2013 Dingayang Festival. And I didn't make that up either. Anyway, it's actually really nice. I was expecting, like, you know, driving past a lot of crushing poverty to get to like the resort area. But the whole island is actually very nice. It's really small. It's the best thing about Guam, if you live in Japan, is that it's a really easy trip. It's only 3 hours. I think it's basically like the Florida, like for Japan, like New York's Florida, basically. Right? Isn't Florida only like 3 hours?
Yeah, about that.
But everything is set up for Japanese tourists because that must constitute about 80% of the population at any given time. Everything is in Japanese. Everybody, you know, most of the hotel staff will speak some Japanese.
Not Guamglish?
It's you know, Guam is America.
I believe the actual language is Bubble Guam.
No, it's English, dude. They speak English. They take dollars. Everywhere you go, they have the shooting ranges. So Japanese people can see what it's like to be an American, since there's no guns in Japan. You can come and just shoot any gun, basically.
What'd you shoot?
I shot a 9mm Beretta and a shotgun.
What did Ty shoot?
Do you know that they would let Ty shoot?
I'm sure they would. That's why I asked the question. What did Ty shoot?
I wouldn't even let him. They're like, well, how about you could let him just like pose with the gun if you want. It's like, no, my mom would fucking kill me if she saw that picture.
Which is why you just left him alone in the hell's hotel room.
How old is Ty now? Ty is 6 now.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the first time I shot a gun. I was pretty young.
6?
Probably not 6. Probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 or something along those lines.
I got to say, you know, this is the second time. Let's see. I shot a shotgun off the back of a cruise ship on spring break. And I shot some crummy rifle at a shooting range in Manhattan for my friend's bachelor party. But I got to say, it's a pretty scary experience just firing off a gun. The power and everything. I mean,
yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. It was interesting and all, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I got to do this again right away after I did it, you know, after I shot off the, you know, my first and only round of bullets. But yeah, it was pretty, Guam is pretty nice. Like, I don't think I would go back to Hawaii again just because you only have a 1 hour time difference.
I mean, really, who wants to go to Hawaii? Boring.
Well, yeah, there's not that much to do in Guam except go to the beach, and there's like a couple of World War II related attractions because there was some fighting on there.
Do they have any roller coasters?
They have a very sad amusement park that we didn't go to, and a sad water park that we didn't go to, and a somewhat sad aquarium. But actually, it was pretty good because we got to see sharks being fed live by divers in the tank, which was pretty.
They fed the sharks to divers. That's cool.
they were hungry. There's a lot of turnover in that job, actually, but. It was a really fun trip. We got to see, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. There was a Japanese soldier who hid in the jungles of Guam for 28 years after World War II was over because he didn't know that the war was over, and he was just hiding. And even though they came around and announced, like because they knew that the soldiers were hiding in the jungles there, or jungle? Yeah, I guess it's jungle. So they even like came around and they announced like the war is over. You can come out of hiding now. But this particular soldier thought that was a trap. So he lived in a hole. He made like a hole in the ground and he lived in there for 28 years. So you can actually go and visit the hole in the ground that he lived in, which was actually kind of interesting. So thumbs up to Guam if you live here. I can't imagine anybody who lives in America would bother because it's just so fucking far. But if you live in Japan, that is my vacation spot pick for you.
Very helpful.
Very helpful for the three people who are listening to the show who live in Japan. Also, when I came back, I had a meeting with this guy. Do you remember when I was in the Tokyo American Club magazine for some video game article that they wrote?
Sexiest man of the year.
Well, they that was it. They took my picture, and I got a message from the photographer who took my picture, and he told me that he's doing a series on Gaijin, which is, you know, foreigners living in Japan.
We all know what it means.
I love when Wombat gets upset. Wombat, can you say Gaijin properly?
Gaijin?
Yeah, close enough. Anyway, it's probably Gaijin, actually, is the right way to say it.
I think it's pronounced Gojira.
Right. So anyway, he's doing a series on Gaijin, and he wanted to photograph me. So I had a meeting with him, and he decided that what he wants to do is have myself and Ty dress up in Street Fighter cosplay and then photograph that. So you have to now figure out which Street Fighter character he wants to dress me up as.
Dalsum.
Yep. Exactly. So now I'm like,
what about the bald guy with an eye patch?
Sagat?
Yeah.
It could be Sagat too, but Sagat's too muscular. Most of the guys
but Sagat
muscular.
Doesn't wear a shirt. Well, neither does Dalsum.
I know, that's the other problem.
But look at his limbs. It's clearly Chibi has those limbs.
Yeah.
The Dalsum limbs.
I don't know. I think I always picture Sagat being a little more filled out and a little lighter in skin tone.
Well, yeah, the skin tone is an issue for sure. But Sagat, I mean, if you look at Sagat, he's, you know, he's jacked up, man.
But he wears longer shorts.
Not really.
And an eye patch.
Yeah, the eye patch isn't going to be the problem. It's the muscles that are going to be the problem. Dalsum is a lot more closer to my build.
You know, what you could do is you could be M. Bison because he wears a hat.
Well, and clothes.
But like in general, if you're like the hair is the concern, you know, when M. Bison's wearing the hat, you really don't see hair.
But it's going to be hard to come up with that costume, I think.
Well, good luck.
Like the Dalsum,
you have a choice to make. Diaper
or
red suit.
Actually, I think the choice is the photographer's.
Well, then he has to find the costume.
Yeah, he's got to do everything. So Ty would be Ryu, because that's easy, right?
Ryu. Is this something that he offered to you, or are you paying for this?
No, I'm not paying.
No. Okay, I'm like, that's why I'm, hey, I just want to be sure on this one.
It's not like a scam where like they say they'll take my headshot and then I get like a bill for $400.
Okay.
No.
You could be Seth. He's bald, right?
Yeah, but he's blue.
It's not
and
that
he's also And he's also jacked.
They all are. That's a problem you're going to have with everyone.
Well, Dalsum is not.
Unless you're E. Honda.
Honda's just fat. I'm not fat. I could get fat pretty quickly, though.
It's something to attain to, though. At least you have a reason to eat.
Right. Instead of not eat, which is like, because now I'm all concerned about this stupid photo thing. Even though I just had like two pieces of chocolate and it's only like 10:30 in the morning. I'm definitely closer to Dalsum's build. And I do yoga also, but I'm pale as a motherfucker. So
you gotta get some tan on you.
Even though I went to Guam, but I wore, you know, I wear like 30 sunscreen and like the big Jew hat, you know, with the super brim. So like no, and I even got one of those swim shirts. Do you know about the swim shirts?
I do know about swim shirts.
Because it's such a pain in the ass to put suntan lotion all over your torso.
I actually agree with you, and that's why I wear them to the beach.
What's the real reason why?
Because it is true. No, I always get burnt in the weirdest spots and it gets uncomfortable for like a week.
Me too.
Like I'm like the king of somehow getting sunburned on my underarm.
The blotchy,
like my
suntan.
Armpit. Yeah, I'm like, I can't handle this. So no, that's why I started wearing a swim shirt to the beach, because then I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, it is the way to go. I've discovered that. I'm never not doing that again.
I once got a sunburn like just on my belly button.
I once got a sunburn on my eyelids.
Oh, that's terrible. When I was on vacation, when I was on my honeymoon, I went snorkeling with my wife, and we went and there were like manta rays underneath us. So I was like straight as an arrow looking down at them, and my feet were sticking out of the water.
The bottom of your feet got sunburned.
The bottom of my feet got sunburned. On my honeymoon. Really bad, too.
Yeah. I probably told this story before, but when I was on spring break in college, I got high. Somebody had weed and we smoked it on the beach.
That's usually how you get high.
And then I fell
finding weed and smoking it. Yes.
And then I fell asleep on the beach, and then my eyelids got sunburned. And then when I went to sleep that night and I woke up the next morning, I couldn't open my eyes because my eyelids were so swollen from the sunburn, and I didn't know what was going on. It took me a while to figure it out. And then it was just really weird because my eyes only opened up like a tiny slit, just enough that I could see. It was pretty awkward.
That is awkward.
I got a sunburn one time, and then I got cancer.
Right. So you
were. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's not nearly as good as our stories.
Right. There's no joke in there. So now you just do you wear like a beekeeper's outfit when you go to the beach?
I just put sunblock on. It's fine.
And there is no beach where he lives.
No.
Right. You know, I wear like, when I came back, everyone was like, you're not tan. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to get suntan. I don't want to get skin cancer. I just want to relax. Oh, yeah. Japan. I mean, Guam. Whatever.
Whatever.
Meanwhile, speaking of Japan, I just took a taxi with Ty. Ty's going to elementary school starting in April, and we had a little interview at his new school. To make sure that they literally interview the kids to make sure they're not retarded. So
do that in American schools too.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, like, I forgot to tell Ty. We sort of forgot to tell him, like, what the purpose of the visit to the school was, that they were going to be asking him questions. So we get into the room and they just start asking him questions, and we didn't give him any. We forgot to tell him, basically. It happens, right? So we forgot to tell him. They started asking him questions, you know, like, who are these people sitting next to you? You know, me and my wife. And he thought it was like a trick question. It's such an easy question. So he was like thinking about it for a really long time. And then the principal or whoever was like, well, is it your brother and sister? And he's like, no, mama and papa. So he got it right. But I was a little touch and go there for a little while. Anyway, on the way, so then we had to go to real school, and we took a cab over there. And the taxi driver started doing magic tricks for Ty. Every time he stopped at a traffic light, he was doing like sleight of hand. He even had props. He turned like a spoon into a fork. He was doing all this stuff. And then as we got out of the cab, he handed me a brochure and his business card with his magic show. And that's what I put in, like, I sent to you the little message there, Wombat.
You did. He has a lovely assistant, too.
That's must be his daughter, because they have the same name. Either his daughter or his hot, super hot young wife, which I doubt, because the guy is pretty old. Super Magic Show, it's called. So, yeah, anyway, that was
kind of... Well, if you're going to have a magic show...
Should be super.
Exactly.
And he dresses like Liberace, I noticed.
Don't all magicians?
Yeah.
Do magicians dress like Liberace, or did Liberace dress like a magician?
It's a good question. That's a very good question. Did you see that movie, the Liberace movie, by the way?
I never made it through the whole thing.
That's a great movie. The Behind the Candelabra.
Behind the Candelabra, yes.
Great movie. Anyway, Shipwreck, how's your cabling going?
It sucks.
What are you doing, exactly?
Well, while you guys were off in magical faraway lands, I was... in Ohio, putting holes in my walls.
Why?
Because I'm okay. I got that 6 foot long power strip, and I got that mounted on the wall. This stuff has all been building. Like, I've been buying things since like November, and I finally had time this weekend to start putting it all together.
Right.
So I had bought outlets for my wall to run HDMI cable. To my PC, so I could bring my PC into the living room and game on my TV.
And not, you don't want to mess with like Steam in-home streaming or anything like that. You just want the straight up connection.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to stream with? I don't know.
You need to get another TV, another computer rather.
Well, that seems like a terrible idea.
Right.
I already have one PC. That's enough.
Yes.
So yeah. Are you guys familiar with FlexBits?
I know Fitbit.
Okay.
Well, and I know Funkmaster Flex.
It's, if you combine the two, what it is, it's a, I have a 5 foot long drill bit.
Okay.
I saw the picture of it on Twitter that you posted.
Yeah. So the majority of the drill bit is just very skinny, flexible, I don't know, metal. And then the end of it has like about a half inch in diameter drill bit on the end of it. And so the idea is you put it in through a small hole. Like I'd cut up in my, I've done this a lot in the past, but you cut a little rectangle that you're going to put your outlet at. And then you use the flex bit to go in through that hole and then bend it down to drill in through your subfloor. So you can get to the basement and run all your cables and everything.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
My angle was not the best when I was doing that.
Okay.
So I kept on drilling in and I'd hit the bottom. And so I'd be like, okay, I'd go down to the basement and nothing. Like I couldn't find where this hole was at. And then later that day, I went out to my garage to get some more tools. And I see that I've been poking holes into my garage.
Oops.
So that made Mrs. Shipwreck pretty happy about the whole thing.
You shouldn't have told her. She would have never noticed, right?
Well, no, the problem was she's got very skinny arms. So I had her putting her arms into the wall and just like digging around inside the wall to try to find the holes that I had made. So she was aware of the process.
Right. I see. You couldn't hide it.
No, but it's coming along. It'll be nice when I have it done.
God, I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you.
Right. I have the one jack in now. And so now my next, it's only about 8 feet over that I want to put together jack, which this is how insane I am that I can't just run a cable across the floor under the carpet for 8 feet.
You're right. It has to be neat and tidy.
Right. It has to be neat and tidy and jacks in the wall. So I'm just skipping the middleman this time around for the second jack and just going to cut a hole in my garage and drill in through that way.
Oh, whatever works for you.
Right. Well, yeah. Enough about shipwreck sex life. Let's do some show feedback.
Wah, wah.
Bum, bum.
Backlash has to say, FYI, you guys should be happy to know that if you now search Monkey Xbox Ninja Andy Serkis, your podcast has the entire front page of results on various sites, except for one entry for Enslaved, which is down at number 8.
Yep, that was the name of our last show, and I just Googled it, and he's right. It's the Wikipedia entry for Enslaved. It's at the bottom of the page. So we won, yay.
All right for us.
I'm expecting 100,000 downloads for that episode for all the people who are constantly searching those terms.
Monkey Xbox Ninja.
Yes, yes. Let's do some Watch This Bitches. When I was in Guam, one of the great things about Guam is that since it's America, they have American movies, and you don't have to wait 6 months for the movies to come out like you do in Japan. So we got to see the Lego movie in 3D, and that was actually Ty's first movie in a movie theater.
Really? He's never been to a movie theater before?
Nope.
That's crazy.
Well, that's like $20 to go to a movie per person here. And it's like, why even bother? Like, we get all the movies here. It's very comfortable at home. I got the popcorn machine. I mean, why bother?
Did you like it?
I thought it was, we all thought it was great. Even Mrs.
I saw it as well.
Did you like it?
Yeah. It was really funny. It's clever.
Yeah, it's
like didn't see it.
Oh, it's like a nonstop assault on the funny. The opening is really like it just doesn't let up. It's really good.
My wife and daughter saw it. I couldn't go because I had to go to the dentist.
Bomb. That's almost as good as the movie, probably, right?
But I have been playing the Lego Movie game.
Nice. Wait, Shipwreck, did you see it in 3D?
No, I saw it in 2D.
The 3D is very good in that.
I'm sure it is. The 2D is very good.
Yeah. How's the game?
It's okay. It's not nearly as good as, say, Lego Marvel.
Yeah, that's why I didn't buy it.
That's kind of weird that you're playing the game without seeing the movie. I bought the game as well because it had a free movie ticket inside of it.
Right.
But I haven't gotten around to playing the game yet.
Yeah, you're spoiling the movie for yourself.
Well, that's not that big a deal to me. And, I mean, my daughter tells me who everyone is. She likes to watch me play the game, which is why I got the game. That was like her gift for being a good girl while I was in California.
Right.
Would you buy yourself a game?
Yeah, to buy myself a game. She wanted it more than I do, trust me.
Right, you guys play a lot of Lego.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's okay. It's just, you know, it lacks, it doesn't, have the big open world like Lego Marvel does, all the open stuff is still kind of split up. So it would be nice if that was a little more fluid, and there just isn't as much to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, how can any Lego game compare to either the DC or Marvel games when you have all these interesting characters to control and open worlds?
I would like to see them take another stab at Lego DC now that they made such a good Lego Marvel game. And I really wanted them to make another Lego Marvel game.
Yeah, there's plenty of characters that aren't in that one. No Vision. That's what Ty keeps asking for.
Is he excited for Vision in Avengers 2?
Is he in it?
Yeah, it was announced.
Wow, because we were talking about that the other day, and I said, because it's the Age of Ultron, right?
Yeah.
Ty loves
it. And Vision is going to be played by, what's his face? The guy who's the voice of Jarvis now?
I don't know.
Andy Serkis. Is going to be, what's his face?
That's not coming out till next year, right?
You have a little while to go.
Okay, because every once in a while, Ty will just ask me out of nowhere, why isn't Vision in Lego Marvel?
just out of the blue?
Yeah,
just Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany is going to be playing Vision.
Paul Bentley from Benson?
Yes, Paul Bentley. No, Paul Bettany. Oh, okay. Bettany.
I see. Okay.
Yes. He's the voice of Jarvis.
I think the Lego movie had my favorite depiction of Batman so far.
I heard a lot of people like that version of Batman. I've been saying that you know, Batman doesn't always have to be down in the dumps all the time.
Well, he was kind of a while. He was a dick in this one.
Yeah, it works.
He was pretty much a dick, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Who saw Thor 2?
I saw Thor 2.
Is this lame?
It's okay. It's not bad.
Is it better than the first one?
I saw it on a plane.
Oh, that doesn't count.
It counts enough that I saw the movie. I would watch it again.
Who's the bad guy?
But it's not better than the first one, no.
Who's the bad guy?
Malekith.
I don't know who that is.
He actually has a really cool costume. He's in Lego Marvel. You fight him in Lego Marvel. He has like a red and black costume, almost like a domino effect. You know, like one side of his costume's black, the other side's red.
I don't know.
And he has like a star on his chest, and he has a half blue, half black face.
I don't know.
Oh, he's in Lego Marvel.
What'd you think of the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
I like the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. I'm excited for that movie. I barely read any of those comics back when the Abnett Lanning reboot. Like, I read like the first few issues, but that's pretty much all I've got. So I kind of like that they're making this movie that I know very little about the characters, because then I won't get bogged down on what they do wrong.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, so it might be good. I think the trailer looks good. I like the casting a lot.
The trailer for the new Avengers, for the new Captain America is pretty good.
Yeah, Captain America looks pretty badass.
And how about that new Fantastic Four movie?
You know what? I haven't seen anything from it yet. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt until at least they release a trailer, and then I'll complain. Kind of like Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, because have you seen the picture of the new Green Goblin that they released today?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, is he not green?
It's just a guy, and his skin is kind of green. She looks like Toad from the X-Men movies.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. That's kind of better than Power Rangers Green Goblin.
Well, he still has like a Power Ranger suit on.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's kind of terrible.
Oh, it is kind of terrible. Yeah, he's just wearing a suit, and looks like he's homeless.
Yeah,
basically.
So, you know,
he looks like a meth addict, basically.
Yeah, that looks shitty. So, you know, I'm not going to complain about Fantastic Four casting until they give me a reason to complain about it.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that image has been out there for a while, right? That's the one that's on the poster.
It's, I don't know. I thought they just released the new one today.
Okay.
All right. How about, should we talk about some video games?
We could.
I guess. New releases. There are some, and we've even played some.
What?
Yeah. Should
That's
we talk
crazy.
About Strider first?
Sure. Strider's pretty good. I like that.
Did you finish it?
I played the first level.
No, I haven't finished it yet.
It's not doing it for me, I gotta say.
I thought
it
would
play
grab
the old
me
ones.
No.
I loved the Genesis game a lot. The first one, Strider on the Genesis.
Yeah, and what about this one?
It's okay.
I've liked all the Striders. Like, that was one of my favorite NES games, and the PlayStation version was pretty good. This one, it's fun.
Like, it's I don't know.
What's not doing it for you?
Well, I'm dying a lot. I don't.
Have you tried not doing that?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm on the part where, like, you're running on the back of a dragon, like a flying dragon.
Sure, yeah.
And I died a bunch. And then I, you know, it started me farther back than I wanted to start after I died.
Checkpoints are a problem with this game, yeah.
And then I turned it off.
I'm not much further than that because I just haven't had much time to play it. But I think the art style is really nice looking. It's fun that he cartwheels every time you jump. The controls are good.
Yeah, it seems fun. Yeah, I guess it's a very specific audience for this.
I was going to say, I don't think that it's necessarily a problem with the game as much as it is just not a game for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's fair.
Okay.
I kind of like the environment and, like, I don't know, just the Strider universe because it's very late 80s, early 90s vibe where it's just really dumb.
I like how it changes the perspective while you play. Like, sometimes your character is very large and sometimes he's small.
I did dig that too.
But yeah.
And I just like Metroid style games, and that definitely has it.
Right. It didn't suck me in the way that what was that? Shadow Complex?
Shadow Complex. Yeah. No, it's not Shadow Complex, that's for sure.
Right. All right, what else we got this week? I'm sure Shipwreck will have more to talk about it when Shipwreck beats it by next week.
Mm-hmm. Earth Defense Force 2025 came out.
Okay.
I want to play that. I have not played it.
That's a last-gen game, correct?
Yeah, it came out for Xbox 360 and PS3.
Okay.
Which I think that might be the first one on PS3. I think all the other ones were for 360.
And Vita. Oh. It was a Vita one, right?
Yeah, there's a Vita one. The Vita one's great. That was 2017, I think. I don't know. Keeping track of these games is hard because they're all basically the same and they just change the years on them.
Right. Yeah, I played a lot of, God, what was the first one on Xbox? 2017? I don't even remember what it was called.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's the same one that was on the Xbox. And then the last one was Insect Armageddon, I believe.
Yeah, that one I didn't play. I don't know. They're fun, but I don't know that I need to play another one unless they've made it less janky, which I doubt that they have.
That's kind of the charm of them.
That everything clips through everything.
Yeah.
That you can't see very often what's happening. Like, if you're underneath a bridge, you're just like, oh, I just can't see anymore. or there's a giant ant clipping through this bridge. But I know a lot of people like it, and they just really want more of the same, and it sounds like more of the same.
I don't know. I haven't read up on it at all, but I see people on Twitter that liked the old games liking this one as well. So
yeah. Cool. What else this week? Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag Freedom Cry. That's the standalone. It's the standalone DLC from the full retail game. You can buy that separately and not buy the full game if you want, which is good, I guess. I haven't played the DLC, so I don't know anything about it. What else we got?
Rayman Legends came out for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I saw that there on the store, but I didn't buy it. It was $40. I thought about it, but no, those games are hard, right? Too hard for me?
You maybe too hard for you if, I don't know. It's easier if you have more people playing with you.
Oh, it's a co-op game.
I'm pretty sure Legends is as well. The first one was, so.
But Ty probably wouldn't help the situation, right?
I don't know. Why not try it?
I don't know.
It's probably like $6 on PC, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the one that's been on PC for a while?
Yeah, this is the one that was the Wii U exclusive, and then...
Ah, right.
And then that didn't happen.
Right. Because they wanted to sell copies of the game.
Right, they decided they wanted to make money.
Right.
Let's see. I've been playing some of Journal on Steam.
Okay.
This is the next game from the guy, Richard Perrin, who did Cairo, which I don't know if you remember that game. That was the...
Yep, I remember.
Very minimalistic first-person adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
This is another adventure game, but it's more similar to like point-and-click type of stuff. And you play as... I don't know, this teenage girl with a beret, and I don't know. It's kind of,
is the beret important to the plot?
Maybe, because I haven't finished it quite yet, but it seems like there's a lot of bad decisions you can make in the game. Like it's all about your kind of interactions with the other high schoolers and your parent or your mom. I don't know what's going on with the dad. It's not mentioned.
Is this like Gone Home at all?
I haven't played Gone Home yet, so maybe.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like, I don't know if there's like a whole bunch of different endings or if there's just like one main storyline, but it seems like you try to like make the good decisions that you, like as a good person, you try to make. And then the game just kind of like has your character do something that's bad and you have to deal with it. The reason it's called Journal is it's all takes place inside of what looks like a book with like hand drawings, kind of like watercolor type stuff. And it all fills in and you get like at the end of each chapter, I guess, depending on your actions, you get a little puppet show that tries to teach you some morals or something.
Interesting. Yeah, I saw it on Steam there. It looked kind of interesting. But
I think he does an interesting job with kind of like non-standard storytelling. So cool. I'm going to stick with it. I think it's pretty short.
Cool. Well, that's Journal on Steam. It's $9. That's pretty much it, huh? Would you say? All right.
Hmm?
Let's do a quick ad from GoDaddy for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Some coupon codes for you. Coupon code 295CAG gets you $2.95 domain registrations for the first year. Coupon code WSB9 gets you website builder plans for $1 a month for 12 months. That sounds cheap. You don't even know what that is, do you, Wombat?
You know what? I always want to build my new website plans.
No, this is for, I think it's for building an actual website.
No, I thought it was, really? I thought it was just something that lets you build plans for new websites. Now that's a bargain.
Yes. You can get $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months with a free domain with coupon code HOSTOFF1. And 32% off new order purchases with coupon code 32OFF1. There you go. GoDaddy.com.
GoDaddy.
Okay, so now it's time to talk about the beta that everybody is talking about. The beta that was a closed beta, but then became an open beta and has occupied so much of my time recently. And it's just amazing. And that game is Hearthstone. Oh, you see what I did there? You thought I was
gonna say... you threw us for a loop.
Yeah, you thought I was going to say Titanfall, but it was really Hearthstone.
Well, that beta's over.
Yeah, Titanfall's over. Hearthstone's still going on. I played some this morning. It's awesome.
Yeah, still going strong.
Have you played any more of Hearthstone, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Before we talk about Titanfall?
No, I haven't.
Come on, man.
I know.
Do it, man. Do it.
Do it.
That's my favorite game of the year so far, by the way. Hearthstone.
That's pretty funny. No, I think that's fine. It's good. That's good for you.
I just to tell you how bad I have it. The server's been down recently a lot for maintenance. I wonder if it's because they're prepping for the iOS version. I don't know, but I really wanted to play Hearthstone last night, and the server was down, and I was very upset. But I had my Xbox on, and then I saw that I had the Twitch channel there. So I wound up watching people play Hearthstone on Twitch. So I'm like Homer Simpson when he went to the all-you-can-eat seafood restaurant.
Yeah, and then you went fishing. I was just about to say that, and now I'm upset because you stole my joke.
Yeah, sorry. Great minds, Wombat. Great minds. Anyway, so Titanfall. So so let's start off with a question from KTS Daddy, who asks if Wombat want to take back the 2 weeks of Titanfall rant and replace it with "I am wrong / stupid"?
No.
So tell us about your Titanfall experience. You played a lot, right? You got to the level cap.
I hit the level cap. I unlocked a good amount of stuff. I did a lot of the I completed many of the challenges, even the come in first in five rounds challenge. I completed that challenge in the beta.
You came in first five times is what you're telling us.
Yes.
Was anyone else playing?
The rooms were always full. Well, that's where it got interesting. Let me tell you something about this.
Tell me.
When I first started playing, you know, when the beta was new, that Friday, I guess.
Yes.
I was doing really well. And I was doing well. It wasn't up, but it really didn't hit until the last night of the beta. Well, the night before, I guess. The last full night of the beta, I'll say.
Okay.
Where I was playing and pretty much everyone had hit the level cap at that point.
Yeah.
That was playing it.
Yep.
And I would be in a game, and even in the checkpoint one.
Domination. Hardpoint domination is what it was.
Yeah, called. Sure. Sounds good to me. The checkpoint one, I would be killed in like 30 seconds.
Right. So you're saying that it only took people like an hour to ramp up to the point where you couldn't be competitive anymore.
Pretty much. It took a good 4 days. So when you're asking me if I take back the 2 weeks of Titanfall rant, I don't know. Because it took about 4 days for the playing field to become...
Wait. You don't know now?
You know, he's asking me if I want to take it back. And now that I'm playing the demo, I don't know if I want to take that back. I don't want to take it back.
Because, I mean, going through my Twitter feed and everything, people seem really excited about it. They seem to really enjoy the beta. I went through a few stages myself, you know, like when I first started playing it.
But that's what I mean. Just like you, and I'll let you continue, but yeah. Stages.
Right. Like, I first started playing, and I was like, oh, this just seems like Call of Duty with mechs. I'm not that into it. But then I came back, and I started to figure out the intricacies of running on the walls and, you know, moving your guy really fast by doing all that parkour stuff. And it really started to take a hold on me, and I found myself playing it over and over again. And then I went through the other stage where I got the PC version, and then I was like, wow, this Xbox version looks like shit compared to the PC version. And I'm doing okay. Like, I'm doing actually pretty well with the mouse and keyboard. And then I went, and then there was like, I think there was an update for the Xbox, a system update for the Xbox. And I think they did something with one of the shaders or something. And then it didn't seem to look so bad to me after all. And I realized that there's just a lot of controls with this game. And it's just a little tough with the mouse and keyboard for me. And then I think I prefer the Xbox One version just because of the controller. And I, you know, of course I can use a controller on the PC version, but everybody else will be using mouse and keyboard, and I'll be at an even greater disadvantage than I already am just because I suck at games in general. But I gotta say, I did keep coming back to the beta. I did find it fun, and I am looking forward to it, and I will probably 99% go with the Xbox One version.
Well, I said to you, if you are buying the Xbox One version, you let me know, and I will pre-order it that within 5 seconds.
Right.
But if I know you're getting it for sure, I mean, I'll probably still get it anyway. But right.
I like that I can shoot the computer controlled guys, that they're not good, so I can just run up and just kill everybody.
I like that too. And it's funny because I've seen a lot of people say both sides of this argument. I personally wish there were more.
Okay.
I kind of would like it because I feel like the maps are pretty large, and I think it would add some kind of more scope to it if it felt like armies going up against each other.
But you're already saying you're getting killed in 30 seconds, so it seems like...
But not by the grunts, though.
Well, yeah, no.
I hope.
Not by the grunts, no.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, because then I would probably spend less time... I don't know. I just think it... Just, to me, I would find that more interesting. But again, well, I don't know what the final... Too. I was going to say, I don't know what the final game is going to be. So I don't know. And I didn't start dying quickly until the last night of the beta. So the first 4 days, I was doing really well. I was coming in first place. I was getting a lot of checkpoints. Maybe I just had a bad night. Who knows?
There's also rumors that there's more to the game than the beta lets on. That there's monsters in the game, like Pacific Rim type monsters. So that could be interesting. Shipwreck, what'd you think of the beta?
I didn't play as much as you guys did of it, but
okay.
No, I enjoyed it. I think a big advantage, at least in the limited time I played, was that it doesn't feel like Call of Duty, where the one guy gets all the perks and then just keeps killing you over and over again. Like,
right.
It's very easy. Like, everybody can get a Titan if they want one.
Yes.
Relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of strategy going on in that game, because
I will give you that as well, Shipwreck. I'll say there's a lot going on.
Yeah, like, you have the whole option of, hey, do I want to get into Titan and then have everybody trying to kill me, basically?
Right.
Or do I want to have my Titan running around outside of a building that I'm holding a checkpoint on, just to draw fire? There's a lot going on. I think people are going to be talking about it for at least 3 weeks.
At least.
I think that's the big question with it. And again, I say 2 weeks, and I'm not saying I can't be wrong. I don't think I ever said that. And I never said, a lot of people were still harping that I said the game was going to bomb, which I clearly never said was going to happen. But a multiplayer game is only as strong as the community that continues to play it. And it's only as good as the people that are playing it. And there really aren't that many strong multiplayer communities on consoles for that many games.
I think this is going to steal a lot from Call of Duty. I think people are burned out on Call of Duty.
Well, that's really the question. Is it going to steal a lot from Call of Duty? Is it going to add on top of Call of Duty? Is it going to run in conjunction with Call of Duty? Is it Call of Duty Battlefield? Is Battlefield 4 still a contender? Or did they screw that game up so much that it's not even in consideration? Are people still playing that?
They're trying to, I think. I don't know if they're successful.
That's what I mean. So is what is the big multiplayer online game right now on consoles? Is it just Call of Duty? Shooting-wise.
It's still Call of Duty, I'm sure. But I bet you people are sick. I bet you people are looking to move on to something else. When you put out a game, basically the same game every year, I think people can get tired of it. And this is different enough. It's similar enough and different enough to steal that audience, I think.
I hope, right. I think a lot of people still play Halo, I guess, online, right?
Sure.
Mm. Halo 4, maybe? I don't know which Halo they're playing. Mm.
I think Halo 4, a lot of that dropped off.
Okay.
So I think people went back to 3. I don't know, though.
Me neither. That's what I mean. I think these are all legitimate questions, though. I think that there are more exceptions than there are rules to sustainable multiplayer game communities on consoles.
Yeah, but the timing of this one is just so perfect.
That's what I think it really has going for it. Is that there really is nothing else. There's nothing else coming out on the console. On the Xbox One.
Yep.
And it doesn't really have any major competition other than Call of Duty Ghosts.
Here's the most played games on Xbox Live, the most recent one that Major Nelson posted. This is from December, but close enough, right? Mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto is number one. Then you have Call of Duty Ghosts and then Black Ops 2 right after each other. And then Minecraft. And then FIFA. And then Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Then Battlefield 4.
I think these are all.
Then you have Skyrim and then Call of Duty Black Ops. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 Call of Duty games in the top 10.
And I guess it's really just a question of. And I do think Titanfall is different. Is a very different game from Call of Duty. I think there are certain things that Titanfall does very well, and a big part of that is the fact that I kept playing it all weekend long. I really did. I kept playing the game. I really like, you know, and it sounds funny, losing and trying to get to the ship.
It's fun. It's a good mechanic.
Is a really strong mechanic. It works really well. I mean, all of my, you know, suggestions is all I would call it. Is it, again, could be things that are changed before the beta and could just be personal preference things. I kind of wish I got cards more often. The burn cards.
Right.
Towards the end, I started to get a lot more, but I found that there would be droughts where it was like, oh, it'd be nice to get more of those.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, it's just a beta. You don't know how it's going to be.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just a beta, so I don't know. I never really quite got the hang of that auto pistol.
You know what the key is with the auto pistol? I didn't realize this until like the very last day of the beta when I saw the little tip come up on the screen. If you aim manually, you lose the auto lock.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and I was wondering why I kept missing.
I used the submachine gun a lot, and I was pretty good with that. And also, I found the nuclear explosion when yes. Titan perk.
Yeah.
Was like an easy 400 XP points every time.
Well, people realized they should back off, I think, towards the end of the beta, you know, to reverse backdash.
Yeah, there was one round where I got two Titans at once by just by ejecting.
It's fun. I mean, there's a lot of, the mechanic, the escape mechanic is really cool because it leads to all these, you know, just by the skin of your teeth, making it or not making it.
Yeah, I found that there was never really a need to communicate with anybody at any point in a game. And I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, you could definitely be better at it if you're communicating, because otherwise you just have people randomly running towards different objectives.
That's pretty much how it was in every round I played.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but as people get better at the game and play with their friends and everything, it's going to... The ones that work together are going to have an advantage.
Oh, totally. I want you to be right. I just hope that it happens. Because I think that this game, and I think the reason why we keep talking about it is, you know, as an Xbox One only owner, I don't have a PlayStation 4. This game is very important for the console. And it's not a question of whether or not this game is worth $60. And after playing the beta, I think it probably is worth $60. And I'm going to have no problem paying for it. I think the question is it worth $560?
Right.
Because if you're buying an Xbox One in March, there's really not much else to buy it for.
They would like to move some boxes before the holiday season, I think. And this is going to be the way this is pretty much it, right? I mean, this is the big
one. I mean, is this a $560 game?
Well, the problem is that it's also coming out for Xbox 360.
Yes, but it's not made by Respawn.
But people don't know that, probably.
And there's no beta for that.
It's coming out at the same time, right?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later.
Okay. Yeah,
so we'll see what happens. Again, I'm not saying that I can't be wrong. I've been wrong many times in this show.
It would be nice. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm still hesitant because it's a tough market. It's a tough nut to crack.
I think it's deep enough. There's enough going on that differentiates it from Call of Duty that people will play this game for a long time. I think you're wrong.
But I did have a friend come over to my house.
Pretty much.
Hey, we'll find out. I had a friend come over to my house, and he wanted to play the Titanfall beta.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have an Xbox One, so he came over to play it, and he thought it was like, he's like, this is amazing. I'm like, all right.
My only real complaint is that it's just visually, it's not that impressive.
It's very gray. It's a little too gray for me. But again, it's just the beta.
792p or something. It'd be nice if they could get a few more p's in there.
Maybe
it is very obvious, like, since we've been, Cheapy and I, we've been playing PC games now for a year and a half or whatever it's been, like, you can tell that the Xbox One isn't there.
It's not up to snuff. No.
Rise looked really nice, so
right, that's what gives me some hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they can get that shit going in Rise and not in the other games. I don't know. Yeah, Rise looks like a high-end PC game. But this does not, except when you play it on PC.
It looks okay. I think it looks okay. Better. It,
Yeah, for sure. It looks okay.
Although sometimes I have no idea if someone's a good guy or a bad guy until it's too late, but...
That's life.
I guess that's life, right? That's, you know, whose fault is that?
There's some rumors that they're trying to get it up to 900p. I don't know that that's going to make a difference.
Why didn't you make a machine that could do 1080p?
Right. Why? Come on. What happened there? So annoying.
They put a Kinect on it.
And like Shipwreck sent a message to me. He's like, you know, I wish they could just made the Xbox handle 1080p no problem, because I'm tired of seeing every news blog post about whenever a new game comes out, the story is PS4 version 1080p, Xbox 720p. It's just like, we know
by now.
The
only exciting part of that is that you never know what resolution it's going to be. Like, it's just going to be some crazy resolution you never heard of.
Yeah, because what is it? It's 790? Is that what?
792, I think.
What the hell is 792?
I think it's 792 and a half.
It's such a weird number, but whatever. We're talking about Titanfall, the game, and yes, it's a lot of fun.
It is important. I mean, people, I think, when they spend $500 for a system and they're buying a next-gen system, they do expect it to look like a PC game, like a high-end PC game, and Titanfall does not look like a high-end PC game. And that is
disappointing. Could they hide that, though, with other things? Like, maybe, would color hide that?
No. It's like a texture quality thing.
Yeah, it's not a color issue.
I'm just asking. Asking questions.
I don't mind the color palette. I mean, look, and there's going to be a lot of different maps. So, you know, you only saw two maps, right?
Yeah.
Is it two, right? Two maps?
Two. Two maps.
Yeah.
If people are fighting in giant mechs, it's going to be gray around there.
Right. It's not going to be all rainbows and sunshine.
I don't know. If I had my own mech, I would totally deck it out in some colors.
Yeah, but it just, like, when you play it on PC, everything is really nice and sharp and crisp, and yeah, it's just a little lacking.
You know what would be cool in that game?
What's that?
At least in as far as I can think, they didn't, you know, maybe for the beta. Windows.
What do you mean, windows?
Well, you do a lot of jumping, and you go through a lot of, like, just...
Right,
like,
glass, you mean, glass.
Yeah, glass in the windows. How much cooler would it be if you actually jumped through glass?
Xbox can't handle the breaking glass, I heard.
I know, the shattering, the sound, it would be awesome every time. That would make the game last more than 2 weeks, just jumping through windows.
Yeah, it makes me sad that this thing can't do 1080p for the most part.
And I understand why the environments aren't completely, you know, destructible because of that parkour platformy element to it. But maybe some areas that can be altered during the course of play.
Titanfall 2, baby.
Yeah, it just seemed weird to me that I was in a giant mech, and there's a certain, like, a part in the beta where it's like, you can't move the mech through this, like, 2-foot piece of concrete that goes across the screen.
Right. Sure.
I'm like, really? My mech can't crush 2 feet of concrete? It could punch another mech to the ground, but it can't break a tiny wall.
Right. Well,
or a little bridge. It kind of took me out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they got to save something for the next one, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
While we're talking about Microsoft stuff, Microsoft announced the new Xbox One Media Remote coming early next month for... What was it? $25?
$25.
Yes. $25.
So this is a remote. Yeah. This is a remote control. It's small little
they did
remote.
It.
They made it. This should have been in the box, right, Wombat?
Probably.
Wombat voted for the headset.
I didn't, you know, I didn't realize it was going to be such an issue.
You didn't know it was one or the other, did you?
No. The original Xbox 360 came with the remote and the headset.
For a while.
That's true.
For a while it did.
I have that.
Yeah, I have it too.
Yeah, Kinect, man. I'm starting to get down on Kinect, that it was just a waste of time.
Well, you're going to need it to use this.
You need it for the remote. The remote doesn't work without it.
No, it does. It does.
It does? I thought it didn't.
No. You need Kinect if you want to do infrared blasting to your other components. That's what you need it for. If you want to just use it to control the Xbox, you don't. And you could also buy an infrared blaster separately if you don't want to use the camera.
How much is an IR blaster, Ship?
just the IR blaster part of it.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap. I mean, that's what our Harmony Ultimates do, though.
It comes with two of those things, right?
Right, but the Kinect is kind of like the base station of the Harmony Ultimate. So, I don't know. Costs a little bit of money, but not very much.
Well, what is the main thing that... What makes the Kinect so expensive? Is it the cameras?
Well, it's got a 1080p camera in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the cameras is the reason why this thing is so expensive, right?
So, that's 1080p. Great.
It's not the microphone and it's not the IR blaster.
The camera. It's the cameras.
It's the cameras. And how often do you use the camera on your Kinect?
For Skype.
Every time I turn it on, because that's how it sometimes recognizes me.
Exactly. So it's not every time you turn it on, it's only sometimes. If the thing didn't have a camera, if it only was a microphone and an IR blaster, would you notice the difference?
Yeah, they should have.
I wouldn't be able to feed my giraffes in Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know what, Wombat? That's not a bad idea. Like,
I just don't understand why they didn't just make a microphone and sell the thing for $100 less.
What do you mean? They put a lot of money into developing Kinect. I mean, it's.
But
they
but
put
it's
a lot of money into developing
anything.
Kinect, and they're doing nothing with it other than putting it in the box.
Yeah, right. That's the weird part.
Like, and there's nothing on the horizon either, right?
Well, I mean, there's Fantasia.
Okay, what? Okay, that's one game.
Yeah, that's really all we have. We have one game coming
and
out.
And Rival, Kinect Sport Rivals, which, you know, nobody cares about.
No one cares
should
about
be a
that.
Pack, but... It should be a free pack-in, probably.
Those guys did very well, though, on Xbox 360.
All right. Well, I think it's one of those things that people aren't going to get fooled again. You know, just like the Wii.
People I do agree. I think it would have been a good idea to have some of those 360 games ready to go with the Xbox One, like Kinect Party.
Anything that justifies having that extra, the Kinect in there, and not 1080p?
I hate to be that guy on the internet, but I do. I'm like, I kind of agree. I don't see why it needed to be in the box anymore.
Yeah.
Why they made this thing, you know, and there's also people that say, well, you know, the Kinect uses a lot of whatever, and that's why resolution sucks. I don't know. You know, it takes 9% of the Xbox memory to run Kinect or some BS lines.
Yeah, I like your idea of having a microphone built into the console. Just you don't even need a separate box. Just have it built into the front of the console or into the controller, maybe. And then, yeah, if you want to do voice control, then do it that way.
That's what
PS4
else.
Does, right?
PS4 has it. Is it in the controller?
No, it's in the camera. It's in the camera. There's no mic in the controller. There's a speaker and a headphone jack.
Yeah, it has a standard headphone jack. The adapter for the Xbox One controller, so you can have a standard headphone jack, comes out in March. That's $25.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling the Kinect. I mean, it's nice for Skype, but totally, that should definitely be like a separate peripheral at this point.
It just seems right now, I mean, maybe it'll change, but if you're asking me today, I think it was a huge mistake. As of right now.
Yeah.
I can't think of a good reason why it's there. Yes, the audio commands are fun, but if you could have sold this thing for $100 cheaper and included
and
the
more
media
powerful.
Remote instead.
And have it be more powerful.
And have it be more powerful, then you know, maybe you wouldn't have the number two console in the US right now.
If you asked 100 of our listeners, what would you rather have? A $400 Xbox One that can play 1080p games 60 frames per second with no problem like PS4 or a $500 Xbox One like we have now, do you think how many people are going to go for what we actually have?
Probably none. And even still with a lot of that same functionality, the being able to pass through the cable box.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff would still work fine. I don't get it. I'm sure that they sit around going, what were we thinking? What's the plan here?
Well, I don't know, man. It's a little sad. It's a little depressing.
Fruit Ninja 2.
Yeah, right? I mean...
I'd play Fruit Ninja 2. Let's do that.
I would play Fruit Ninja too. It would be something. I think they need some, because right now there are there any? Oh, there's that one fighting game. Kinect camera games.
That's down to $20 now, I think.
Yeah, Fighter. I forgot what it's called.
Fighters,
yeah,
Within, know. Without.
Right. Within or without you. I will never play that game, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Do you think you would see we will see a radical change in the Xbox One if it continues to be number two in sales behind the PlayStation 4 at E3?
The rumor is there's a version coming out with no Kinect for $400 at some point this year.
But they would have to make a radical. Wouldn't they have to change the actual console to do that?
No, it works without Kinect.
Yeah, you can unplug it now. It just tells you Kinect is unplugged.
Yeah. So I don't know. But once they do that, then they're really fucked. Because now there'll be no games for Kinect. Or not, they're not really fucked, but we're fucked. Because we spent $500 for it, and we have the Kinect, and we just prefer not to have the Kinect. And spend less, and get the $100 savings. But then we're still stuck. No matter what, though, the Xbox One is still stuck with the inferior performance.
Well, it depends. I saw that rumor also that they were going to divert some of the memory needed to run Kinect to use it towards the console so they could run better games.
It would still be inferior to the PS4.
Oh, I'm sure it would be. But the rumor I heard is they were going to change it from 9% to 2% is what I read.
God, then it's never going to be able to sign you in.
Exactly.
Forget it. And who thought of that, by the way? That's like the dumbest thing, having the Kinect sign you in.
Well, you could still do it manually.
No.
It has no clue of who I am if I put a hat on.
Yeah.
And half the time, like you turn it on and it'll be on for like a good half an hour, like you're watching TV or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it pops up and says it recognizes you.
Yeah, that's always funny to me. That happens to me a lot. Have you guys had the black screen of death?
No.
I did.
What's that
about? It's weird and it's scary the first time it happens.
What is it?
Okay, it's something that was caused by the update that happened.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago. And of course, it totally Michigan J-Frogged me because it was when my friend came over to play Titanfall.
Okay.
So my friend comes over to play Titanfall, and I go and I turn everything on, and I'm about to play it, and all of a sudden there's sound, but there's no picture on the screen. And at first I'm thinking, well, maybe my TV must have turned off my television. So I'm turning my TV on, turning my TV off. I can't even tell if it's on or if it's off. It's just black screen, but I'm still getting sound because the sound goes through the sound bar. The good thing about the new TV is that it has a Netflix button, so I could hit the Netflix button and go straight to that app on the TV. So I could go to Netflix so once Netflix came up directly through the TV and not through the Xbox, I knew my TV wasn't broken. But I couldn't figure out why I was just getting black screen. It's fixed when you just do a hard reboot. But it was still kind of embarrassing to be like, you got to check out the Xbox One and Titanfall. Too bad it doesn't work.
Right, yeah.
And to go through the whole process. One second, I just need to because the only easy way to reboot I found, because holding the button down doesn't always work for me. So you have to unplug it. So I'm like behind my TV, unplugging the Xbox.
So I'm guessing you didn't sell an Xbox One that day.
He still enjoyed Titanfall, but no, he's not going to buy one.
He enjoyed watching you bend over in front of your
Xbox. Exactly. He enjoyed watching me look like an asshole.
Right.
But
let's see. One last thing for Xbox. We've talked about Forza Motorsport 5 a lot. They just released a free track that you can download to celebrate the fact that it's the fastest selling Forza title based on attach rate, apparently. So I think more than one third of all Xbox One owners bought Forza Motorsport 5.
I didn't.
I know. I downloaded the track. The track is Road America. It's fine. Only thing that Forza has really done for me is make me really look forward to Forza Horizon. Hopefully they just can steal that engine and build that game, because Forza 5 is kind of boring.
I hope they bring over the Drivatars too, though, for the next one.
For Horizon.
Yeah, it's still fun to get in there and like be racing against other cars that have people's names above them that you know.
Well, I think the rumor with Horizon is that it's going to be like the Need for Speed Rivals game where you're actually playing online with other players in an open world. So it wouldn't even need that whole the Drivatar thing. It'd actually be playing against real people. But it'd be a combination of the two would be good.
Yeah, a combination of the two. Because I often play that game like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I'm not going to find too many other people that I know racing fours at that time of day.
Well, worldwide, you might. Anyway, I'm really, yeah, that's probably my most anticipated Xbox game, Forza Horizon. That I love the last one, the first one, last and first one. On to Sony. So, yeah, we sort of talked about this before, but Sony has been sort of eating Microsoft's lunch here with PS4 versus Xbox One. They've sold 5.3 million PS4 consoles worldwide. And I think the NPDs came out also while we were on break, and it looked like it outsold Xbox 2-1. Is that right? Yeah, 2-1. Wait, or did I just make that up? Yeah,
no, that's about right. Yeah,
about
2-1.
So it's, I guess, like 300,000 to 150,000. It sounds like somewhere ballpark for the month of January.
And that's, I mean, it's pretty drastic, especially for the U.S. market.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, PS4s were still, you know, somewhat hard to find, at least compared to Xboxes.
Comparatively, I think so. I know Shipwreck sees everything everywhere because he lives in...
I see all of them wherever I go.
Yeah, he lives in some sort of weird vortex, but I still have yet to see a PlayStation 4 in a store in my neighborhood.
And they're not on Amazon.
Are they not on Amazon anymore? They were for a while.
They've been on and off through Amazon now.
Right. Not right now, though. They're not. But Xbox is, I think. I'm pretty sure. As I look. And yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So Sony is, you know, doing very well with the PS4. And, you know, this segues right into your man in Japan from our stories from our friends at Akihabara News. But it's not even out in Japan yet. It comes out this Saturday in Japan. So they already seem to be kicking Microsoft's ass, and they're not even out in their hometown yet. And obviously Xbox One's not going to sell jack shit in Japan. And I don't even think they've even announced a date yet, but it doesn't matter because nobody bought the Xbox 360 here. And certainly nobody's going to buy the more expensive Xbox One over a PlayStation 4 here. I mean, it's just, that's never, ever going to happen. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens this year in the quote unquote console war. And what, if Microsoft is forced to make any changes.
It's impossible to say after just 1 month. Yes, PlayStation 4 outsold the Xbox One 2-1 last month.
Right.
If that trend continues for 6 months, let's say, I'll throw that number, I think then they have to do something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is very early. And of course, if we all remember Xbox 360 versus PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 was kicking Sony's ass for a while. And they evened out basically by the end.
But I think there were fewer differences between the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. You know, when it came down to it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There were very little differences. At the end of the day, that was a matter of preference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are true differences between the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. And as you've already mentioned twice, and although a lot of people say it doesn't matter, it kind of does matter that the PlayStation 4 is outputting a higher resolution picture.
At a lower price.
At a lower price.
Price is one of the most important factors.
Price is definitely one of the most.
It's when you walk into a store and you see 90% of the games are on both consoles and one of them is $100 cheaper, it's a pretty strong argument.
Especially if you have the knowledge that the cheaper one is even more powerful.
Well, that's where it's not even a double-edged sword, the one-edged sword. If you're educated, you know that the PlayStation 4 is cheaper and has a higher resolution. If you're not educated, you know that the PlayStation 4 is cheaper just by looking and that the games are essentially the same.
Right. If Sony should really be trying to get the word out about the, you know, about the power difference.
Right now they don't have to.
Well,
I don't see that big a marketing push right now for PlayStation 4s.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't think they need to spend that money.
Right. But getting the word out now, I think getting the word out as soon as possible, early and often, I think is a good strategy, you know, for them.
I think you'll see something, if I had to guess, you know, when Infamous comes out soon.
That is soon, right? Is that the same day as
Titanfall? Or
nice. Oh wow, awesome.
So it's going head to head with that.
Yeah, they're very close release dates.
Like a week? Is it a week difference or is it the same week?
I think it's a week difference, maybe.
Yeah, it's a week later. 21st.
I don't know. I think Titanfall is going to sell substantially more than Infamous.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is how many Xbox Ones have been sold.
But Xbox, it's on Xbox 360 as well.
So. Well, I'm not talking about the 360
version. There's 80 million Xbox 360s out there.
We're not talking about the 360 version of Titanfall.
That doesn't count?
It doesn't count in this conversation. We're talking PlayStation 4 against Xbox One. If you're saying that people are going to, because the question is Titanfall going to move new consoles into homes?
Yes, it is.
It will.
How many? The number? What's the number of consoles that Titanfall needs?
2.5 weeks worth of consoles.
Is 100,000, if Titanfall moves 100,000 consoles, is that a good number?
It's going to move more than 100,000 consoles.
I don't know.
They sold 150,000 in January with nothing.
Well, how will the Xbox 360, Xbox One outsell the PS4 in March? Because of Titanfall.
I think it will.
Yeah. I think it will too.
In North America, yeah.
Yeah. I think March will be... The question is, will it do it again in April?
Aha. The 2.5 weeks question.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question. The question is, yes, Titanfall is going to sell very well. It's going to move, if I had to guess, I would say 200,000 consoles on top of whatever it may sell for people who don't, you know. So let's say they sell 300,000 consoles in March. But does that drop drastically in April?
See, that's what I'm saying. Sony's got to get the word out about the power difference now. Get a little cock block going.
Or do you wait for Infamous to come out and say, we have all of these games that are on the other console. It's $100 cheaper. The resolution's better. And look at our great exclusive.
Nobody cares about Infamous.
Well, that's.
I mean, unless does Infamous, Sony hardcore care about Infamous? Nobody else cares about Infamous.
Unless it's really good.
Nobody cares about Infamous.
It's just it's a tough IP to get.
I mean, they're fun games, but it's not.
It's not giant robots. It's not Call of Duty giant robots.
I think it's an IP where the name brand isn't that strong, but
you mean like
a really
every
good
Sony exclusive.
A really good version of that game might be able to push it. I don't think there's
just
been a
play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, you could play Assassin's Creed on both.
They need a.
Well,
like
I know. That's why I'm saying Infamous isn't that strong of a sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got here? Oh, since we were talking about our friends at Akihabara News, I thought this was pretty funny. They sent over, so in Japan you can now, do you know what EMS is? Electrical muscle stimulation. So a company is now selling a wireless muscle mouse that you plug in these pads into the mouse and it sends electrical shocks to you to work out your muscles while you're using your computer. It's the Thanko wireless muscle mouse, and it's $60. And you attach the pads to your stomach, and you get an ab workout while you're sitting at your desk. And nobody will know because it just goes underneath your shirt and it's plugged into your mouse. People won't know what's going on. Wombat, if I buy this for you, will you electrocute yourself at work?
I already do, so I guess.
I mean, in this way.
Oh, sure.
Looks pretty funny. Anyway, yeah. Thanks to our friends at AkihabaraNews.com for sending us these weird things. Moving on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. I played some more Octodad because Ty saw it and he was very interested in checking it out. So we were looking for something to do. And, you know, it's very funny to try to explain Octodad to really, probably to anybody, but especially to a six-year-old, because he like can't get past the concept of, you know, how is there an octopus wearing a suit? How come has kids who are human? Why are people looking at him? You know, what are you doing? It's pretty weird. But I know Wombat, when we talked about this game last time, you said it sounded like one of these games where you play it once and you've probably had enough. You're kind of right. Most of the game is really just like doing little mini games inside the game. It's not super compelling. I mean, it's very cute and I like the concept and all. But it's also very frustrating to move the octopus around. He's always getting stuck on things.
What's the point?
No, but it's not funny. Like in the way, like when you play Surgeon Simulator and you're having a tough time moving the controls and you wind up dropping a clock inside a guy's chest cavity, that's funny, right? It's just inherently funny. When you're moving an octopus around and you're trying to climb up a flight of stairs and his tentacle is stuck in the stair and you can't get it out, it's not really funny. It's just annoying.
It's still funny.
Maybe. Anyway, the game's cute, and it's coming out on PS4, I think, pretty soon. I don't know if it's a freebie with PlayStation Plus. It's worth checking out, but I don't know if I'll... Actually, I think I'm at the very end. But that... God, it's very frustrating, the very end, I'll tell you that. I tried to rage quit that one. Ty was upset, but... Anyway... the big news this week, Wombat, is what?
Irrational Games is no more.
What's the story there, Wombat? Did you follow this all?
I guess, hopefully enough. So basically, Ken Levine decided to shut down Irrational Games and move on to a smaller studio with him and just 14 other employees, and everyone else in the other 100-plus employees were just let go.
Yeah, I guess BioShock didn't sell that well.
No, I don't think that was it.
I think it sold well. It probably made it at minimum made back its money. I don't think it was a failure.
Well, there were a lot of rumors about how much that game cost. Like it was crazy, crazy expensive.
Sure. Well, I think it just came down to, I don't know if it was pressure or if he just didn't want to be stuck doing the BioShock series for the rest of his life. It sounds like he just wanted to start fresh, and to do that you have to pretty much just ruin a whole bunch of people's lives.
Right.
I'm
sure is a tough decision, but
it doesn't make you like Ken Levine anymore.
I can see both sides of it, because clearly he's a really passionate guy who wants to work on very specific things. And I could see it being a lot of pressure to be constantly putting out these AAA products and having to employ hundreds of people. And it's just odd to me that 2K went this route with it.
Yeah, that's where I think it's interesting. Because let's face it, 2K is not hurting. They're probably the most successful... Maybe the most successful studio of 2013 with Grand Theft Auto and NBA.
Yeah, they did very well. So it's odd that they wouldn't want to keep that studio, like, just, I don't know, promote somebody within or stick somebody else in there to lead.
And make more BioShock games.
Yeah, well, 2K is keeping the BioShock license, but you would think, yeah, let's keep the people who have worked on it. They clearly have a good track record.
Call it 2K Boston or whatever you want to call it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the BioShock is not as successful as we thought. Because wouldn't that make sense?
It's weird. I mean, I know they're trying to do a lot as far as like a job fair. But again, you have a lot of people who probably put roots down because they were working at a successful game company and they have mortgages and families and basically what feels like some crazy whim of an artist.
It's probably not.
Their lives are ruined.
It probably was 2K making the decision.
I don't think so.
That's not how it comes across.
Right. Well, I read an article about about the situation from someone. I'm sorry, I can't remember who wrote it or even where I read it. But her theory was that this was deliberately put out to like come from Ken Levine. So the story becomes, hey, what's Ken Levine working on next? Not 2K just shuttered the BioShock studio. You know, that one's a much better story than the other.
Because I guess at the end of the day, is it 2K? Is it Irrational 2K studio?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, is Irrational a 2K studio? They were funding, I'm sure, BioShock in some way. But do they own the studio?
Let's see. Yeah. Yep. It was owned by Take-Two.
Then I guess it isn't Ken Levine's decision.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't own it. If it's not his property, it's not his to shut down. It's
a subsidiary of Take-Two.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2K's decision to shut it down, but I think it was his decision to step away from it.
Well, we don't know that either. Yeah. Maybe they told him, we're not going to, you know, we want to shut you down or we want to let go.
So he's a big fat liar is what you're saying. That's your theory.
You know what? He's either a liar or an asshole. I don't know which one is better.
Well, I mean, what did he say? He just said that the studio was shutting down and he was going to be working on a different type of game with a smaller team and starting over. Isn't that all he said?
I think does he mention if it was his decision?
No.
I felt like he did, but I'll take your word for it.
His words were, I am winding down Irrational Games as you know it.
So he is, it sounds like it's his decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a jerk. You know what's funny? He is the antagonist in all of his games. He is the machine. He's the 1%. He's the capitalist. It's his decision.
Who's the girl?
I mean, it is kind of funny, though. I mean, he's Andrew Ryan. What becomes of Irrational Games? It just turns into whatever, the Rapture. I mean, there's got to be some sort of poetic something.
I'm telling you, dude, if BioShock was just printing money, this would not be happening.
It wasn't a top 10 game. It was not a top 10 game of the year. It you know, when the game came out, everyone's like, this is the game of the year. It wasn't top 10 in US sales. It wasn't the top of many people's game of the year lists. I think in many ways it might have been a big disappointment. Despite how many people loved it when it was new, it didn't stay new and shiny for a particularly long time.
It said as Take-Two's reported the game has surpassed
that was in July. It hit 4 million in sales. But the rumor was, and I don't know how true this is either, wasn't it the rumor that it had a $200 million production budget or something insane?
It was, but I think they sort of denied
debunked that.
But I don't know.
So let's say it sold 4 million copies. And I'm going to go with the benefit of the doubt and say that it sold it at, say, an average price of $40 a copy by July. So that's $160 million. Do you think that's enough? Is that not enough anymore? That's the question.
I don't know. Look, it's business. If thing was making bank, you don't shut that down. I mean, you know how hard it is to come
find
up with
another
a video
IP
game?
Like a BioShock.
Exactly. Anyway, let's move on because
we don't really know anything and we're just kind of talking out of our butts. Yeah. I'm sure people all remind us how much we're talking out of our butts.
Yes. Did we want to talk about threes on iOS? Because Shipwreck is so good at it. He's such a genius. I figure he should get some glory.
That's a fun little game. I kind of ruined it for myself, though, because on my, I don't know, I'd played it less than 20 games of it, I guess. And
okay.
All of a sudden, I was in the top 20 in the world, which I've fallen since. So I've started playing it a little bit more again.
A bunch of those are cheaters, by the way. So you're probably higher than that. You can see like people have insanely impossible scores on there. They're just cheating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really fun puzzle game. It's a really fun numerical puzzle game. I think it's $3. That would make
sense. $2.
Oh, $2. I figured it'd be $3 because
exactly threw you a curve there.
But it's really fun. I played it on the airplane from Guam, coming back for almost 3 hours, so it's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's addictive. The music's really good too in that game.
Yes, it is. It is. The whole game is put together very well. Just do a quick CAG bag. USFH Bomb, our good pal, wants to know. He says, Activision is making a new Tony Hawk game. Does anyone still care about Tony Hawk?
Shipwreck you are does.
Shipwreck is a Tony Hawk master. So
Yes, I'm very excited.
You are.
As okay. long as they don't Shipwreck screw it up, cares. Which I don't think they're going to. I'm excited for that. There's not anything that is in that genre anymore. So I think it could do well.
Yep. EA stopped making the skate games, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they stopped. I mean, those stopped being profitable.
They were kind of good-ish.
The skate games were okay. They still weren't Tony Hawk.
Right.
Like, they weren't Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 and 3.
Right. Here's a good question. We're talking so much about resolution and performance. Dirk the Darling 83 writes in and asks, with the price of 4K TVs dropping to the $1,000 mark this year, do these current next-gen consoles have the longevity of the last? I mean, 1080p was a major driving force on last-gen. With today's PCs in the price range of $500 to $1,000, that can drive... Well, he's kind of wrong here. That's that can low. Drive... 4K displays. Are current next-gen systems stuck in a 1080p world for the next 7 to 8 years, or Xbox not even, while during that same time, gaming PCs will improve in performance as well as drop in cost? So the Forbes gaming blog did an article about how you could build a 4K gaming rig for less than $2,500. So Dirk, you're a little off on your price. So his... Yeah, right now you basically need to spend around $2,500 to get a good 4K gaming rig. That price will obviously come down, you know.
But then consoles will be dirt cheap,
right? And they're never going to come down. It's going to be a while before they hit anywhere close to, you know, let's say $1,000. It's going to be a while before that happens. I think, you know, before you get the
whole
rig. Are
they making games in 4K resolution yet?
The games will run on whatever your graphics card can handle.
Well, so you'll see a difference. So if you set it to 4K, you'll see a 4K game.
Yes, exactly. So if you have the money right now, you can be playing 4K games on your computer. And apparently, all you need is $2,500, which is
and
not
a 4K
crazy.
TV.
That includes the screen.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $2,500. So it's, yeah, that's on Forbes. If you just Google how to build a 4K gaming PC, $2,500, you can find the article there. So yeah, and the price has come down because not so long ago, like, you needed multiple GPUs to do that, and now you can do it just on a single card. Yeah, so that's a good point, Dirk, but the price difference is still going to be pretty big. Probably by the time it's $2,000, the consoles will be, you know, $300 and $400. So it's a big difference. And you already have a TV. Let's see. Thorbon3 asks, if the CADcast somehow boomed in popularity and had millions of downloads, would you guys be able to handle the fame, or would you retreat back into normal life? Wombat couldn't handle the fame, I'll tell you right now.
Not even a little.
It would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster.
I don't know what would happen, but it would be bad. You would, I don't know. I just don't think you can handle it somehow.
You're the Flappy Birds guy?
I don't know. I can't, what would happen, Wombat?
I don't know. I honestly
Something
don't
would
know.
Maybe you would be like a super dick, I think.
You think so? I don't know about that. I mean, I do have a family to think about.
Well, it doesn't mean you can't be a dick.
I'm pretty good at not being a dick most of the time.
You don't think you'd be like super cocky?
I think you'd think you were more right.
That might be about it.
Right. Okay, so maybe Wombat can handle
it. You know, I do admit when I'm wrong, by the way.
Right. Well, we'll check back in a few weeks.
Yeah. Trust me, if I'm wrong, I'm the first person to admit when I'm wrong.
Right. Well, you're not the first
Imagine
person.
How boring the show would be if we all just sat around going, yep, yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah, that'd be boring. Who'd want to listen to that show?
That's probably, yeah. Well, where are our million downloads?
Exactly. We should have. You know why? It's Thorbon3's fault and every one of our listeners who are not telling a friend to listen to this show.
Well, we have a million downloads. It's just over the course of several years.
Yeah, like a million downloads a week would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be good. Then you can make some money on this fucking
shit. Then we could actually make some bucks.
Some CADcast dollars. Anyway, I think that's enough show for today because it's already an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And change. And Wombat's very tired because he's not super famous and he does have to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Sorry. So I will remind you all to follow us on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, and Video Game Deals, of course, and Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer, blah, blah, blah. I'll post, if you want those GoDaddy coupon codes, just go to the show thread, and you will find them. A lot of people asked about when's the new front page of CAG coming, and it's supposed to be next week. So I hope it is, too.
Good. We're all tired of Deadpool.
Yeah, we're all tired of Deadpool and Saints Row and all that shit. So anyway, well, we appreciate you listening. Please,
that should just be the CADcast, by the way.
What do you mean? Oh, just the front page?
Yeah.
I think people know about the CADcast already.
I don't know. I saw someone complain on Twitter today that they had trouble finding the CADcast from the homepage.
Well, okay. Hopefully that's improved in the new homepage, but I don't know. Everybody download the show 50 times each.
There you go.
And then we'll have a million downloads. Until then, we will see you next week. Bye.
Bread's done.
Genesis done. 16-bit arcade graphics.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis done.
16-bit sports action.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis
does.
Genesis does.
Get Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free.
Genesis.